The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Hello and welcome back to Archangel Radio, broadcasting to worlds as yet unknown. Wasn't it good to hear from Michelle and Fairhope and Rich in Birmingham? You see, it's not that hard, guys. Pick up the phone, 888-928-0881, or text me on 251-928-2111 anytime you like. I don't bite, and I hope you don't bite either. Now, we're changing gears and moving from the world of politics and food to the world of the spirit, and in particular to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. This is the most important part of the show for me, and I hope it will become so for you. Why? Because this is an opportunity when you get to lay your load down. You, whatever that thing that's oppressing you, whatever that situation that's disheartening you or just making you want to throw your hands up in the air, this is the moment when a spiritual army appears on the horizon. And that spiritual army is everybody listening to this show now. Because whether you're just listening or whether you've got your beads in your hand like I have and you're ready to go, you are praying with us today. And we are going to be praying for specific intentions. Now, to help me with that, I have a prayer partner today. Mike, who have we got today?
Yes, we have Ellen Taylor, our station manager, right, joining us today.
Right from the office next door, Kevin.
Ellen Taylor, never heard of her. I'm sorry, that's Ellen.
All week we've been inviting in our rosary group here from the Archangel Radio. That come in and we pray regularly on Thursdays at 11. And nobody could do it, so I popped into the office next door. And then next week, our plan and our hope is that our partners who have been listening and praying this week via phone will call in and they can pray along with everybody. I really feel, Kevin, today is a day we need to pray here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Listen, it's not just in the States. It's everywhere, isn't it? I mean, what happens today in Alabama or in California has a knock-on effect over here. We're all part of the one chain. This is the wonderful thing about this prayer. It reaches beyond any kind of geographic boundary. This is a prayer which goes straight up in the air, straight to heaven, and hopefully will bear much fruit throughout the world. Now, Ellen, you spoke too soon because I was really looking forward to the opportunity of welcoming you to your own station.
Thank you.
but you beat me to it. But welcome to the Turley Frequency. This is the first, I hope, of many visits here. But on a serious point, Ellen, is there anyone or anything that you want to pray for during this chaplet?
Oh, I've probably got a laundry list like many
good
prayerful people. My parents, my mom, you know, is deteriorating and she's got some dementia and she's blind. And so my dad is.
What's her name, Ellen? What's her first name? Christian name?
Eileen.
Eileen, lovely.
Yes. Yeah. And so my dad, John, who cares for her and as the rest of my siblings do from time to time, but we all make it a family point that my mother will not be alone in whatever time that she has left, that she will be surrounded by love and family, and I pray for strength for my dad.
Right. Well, we'll start with that. I may come back to you for other intentions because, listen, we haven't had many coming through on the requests. This is gold. Can I just tell anybody listening of what our Lord said to Saint Faustina in a vision? He took her and showed her a table full of diamonds, rubies, emeralds, jewels of the most breathtaking beauty. And she said, "What are these?" And he said to her, "These are the gifts that I want to give people, but they don't ask, Faustina." So, listen, ask. Right. So shall we begin?
Yes.
Ellen. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm assuming you've done this before. So
I have.
I think you know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
O blood and water,
which gush forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Ellen. So for this first decade, we are going to pray for Eileen and John.
Great.
For their spiritual needs, for their temporal needs, and for everybody who cares for them and loves them.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, thank you, Ellen. Now, for this second decade, I am going to remember everybody that we have added in so far into our November dead list. Ellen, is there anybody that you would like to pray for who's recently departed, or a loved member of your family who's departed in some way?
I would like to pray for the souls of all my grandparents. And I always pray, Kevin, for the souls of my ancestors in my lineage that may still be suffering in neglect, and nobody is alive to pray for them anymore, for however long they might be suffering in purgatory, that God will grant and welcome them fully into heaven.
Okay, that sounds great. Hopefully we can empty purgatory this month.
Yeah.
So on the list so far, we've got Billy Langford, we've got Aaron, we've got Finn Baylock, we've got Albert Reynolds, Jan Reynolds, we've got Jude, we've got Marcy, and we got Humberto. And now we've got Ellen's grandparents and lineage. Ellen, could I just have some names of your grandparents just so I can read them out?
My grandparents, my dad's side was Mary and Thomas. And on my mother's side was Catherine and William.
Wonderful. So we will pray for William, Thomas, Catherine, William, and all your lineage each day this month that we're on air doing this chaplet for the November dead list. Okay, so let's remember all our dead. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Great. Now, we're still not getting the requests through, so I'm going to take this opportunity, if I may, especially with Ellen here. I would like to pray for everyone associated with Archangel Radio. So that includes all the board. It includes you, Ellen. It includes Michelle, Mike, Sherry, Samantha, everybody that I've had the pleasure of coming into contact with. And it includes all the donors and all the benefactors and all the people who pray, especially in St. Lawrence's Rosary Group, everybody that prays for Archangel and has made this the apostolic instrument that it is. So unless anyone's got any objection to that.
No, I can't see one coming in, Kevin.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Mike, do you have anybody you want to pray for?
Yes, I do. I want to pray for a good friend of mine, his wife, Jim Pinto. His wife, Joy, just as of Monday, underwent gallbladder surgery. So I just want to pray for her that her body will heal from the surgery. Jim and Joy have their own show on
yes,
the network.
Yes, I know it. Yeah, yeah. I know it. Yeah. I know. I was wondering if that's the Jim and Joy Pinto.
Is,
I didn't know that about
Jim
Joy. I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. So far she's doing really well, and so just resting. So.
Well, that's wonderful. Let's pray for them and their wonderful apostolate, because they have done so much to promote marriage and fidelity in marriage and the vocation of marriage through their television show and their various media enterprises. So that's a great call, Mike. Thank you for that. And of course, we'll pray for your family too, for Jen and the children as well. We'll pray for them
as we
always do.
Thank you.
Good.
And we, hey, by the way, just really quickly before we get into this next round of chaplet, we have a caller on the line, Sherry.
Oh, wonderful.
Hello.
Hello.
Sherry, hello. Welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Thank you.
How can we pray for you?
I have my best childhood friend, Robert. He recently lost his significant other, after a long battle with cancer, and so I'd like, her name was Raquel, and so I would like to give my attention for him and for Raquel.
Raquel, yeah. Okay. We will definitely remember Raquel. May she rest in peace, and we'll pray for Robert. Robert, may you be at peace. May you find the healing strength of Christ in this dark valley. He's definitely there, and he's definitely looking for you. And Sherry, I'd like to pray as well for your intentions. Do you have anything particular on your mind at the moment that you'd like to be prayed for? Something at work, something with your family, or just something you need?
Well, I would like to pray for my two grown children who have kind of left the faith a little bit. Maybe I would like to pray for them to come back to the faith.
Okay. Can we have their names, Sherry? Do you mind? Just their first names or Christian names?
Jake and Luke.
Jake and Luke. Okay, Jake and Luke, it's coming right at you. Sherry, thank you so much for calling in. Do call again.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
God bless you. Okay, so that, listen, we've got a full saddle load now. This is great.
Got a lot of prayers.
Great. This is what we want. Because what we're saying is, Lord, act in these situations. We come to you with faith and we ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon Sherry, upon Jake, upon Luke, upon Robert. May Raquel rest in peace. And we pray for Jim and Joy. May they know peace as well. And we pray for Mike and his family as well. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, so we're coming up to the final decade. You know, and you know what I feel like, Ellen,
when I'm
praying this? You know, because we talked yesterday about the Powerball, you know, the $2 billion jackpot, and how everybody wants to win the jackpot. And yet, I feel that in this prayer, together with the power of the people praying with us, that this is more valuable than a $2 billion lottery ticket.
Yeah, well, you're right there. We can't put any price on prayer in our Lord. You know, Kevin, in my hand, I'm holding my rosary I got at the in Mexico City at Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Oh, beautiful.
And I'm reminded that in the time of need, this continent, when there was child sacrifice going on with the Aztecs and all hope seemed lost to those people that were living under that, that our Blessed Mother appeared to Juan Diego and said, there is a God and follow him. And the whole continent was converted in the next decade to Christianity and child sacrifice stopped. And I see a lot of parallels in our culture today. So I reach out and I ask for our Blessed Mother's intercession through Our Lady of Guadalupe that she will save this continent and our hearts will turn to the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Ellen, what a wonderful prayer. And you've reminded me, today is the day to pray for these United States and to pray for everybody in them. We may have political differences with people, but they're never our enemies. They're always political opponents. They're not enemies. They're souls that are not as well formed. They're people whose consciences are deformed sometimes. And they need our prayer and they need our help and they need our Christian witness to the truth and the truth about life, the truth about family and the truth about marriage. So this final decade, we pray for the United States. We pray for the election that is still ongoing, I think I'm right in saying, Ellen. All the votes haven't been counted yet.
Right.
All the decisions haven't been made yet. And let your will be done, Lord, throughout these United States, a country which is such a beacon of hope to so many of us in other countries, which are a lot further down the plug hole than the United States. Okay. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And now we say the final prayers three times. Holy God,
holy mighty one,
holy immortal
one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God,
holy mighty one,
holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Ellen, can't thank you enough for stepping into the breach at the last minute.
My pleasure. I mean, there's no time wasted when it's put in prayer, right?
Absolutely. It's eternal and it goes out and it never comes back empty-handed. Mm-hmm. So be careful what you pray for, folks. You might be praying for the Powerball. There might be other things you might want to consider before that. Thank you, Ellen.
Oh, thank you, Kevin.
Good stuff. That's Ellen Taylor, if anybody doesn't know, who is the manager of Archangel Radio. So she's a very important person at this station, and you must keep the people here in your prayers. Catholic media is an apostolate, and having worked in Catholic media a number of years, I can tell you that the burnout rate in Catholic media is very high. And why is that? That's because there are people who don't like what we do. And I'm not talking about people in this realm, I'm talking about the people who will make you despondent, make you give up, make you think that it's of no consequence, Catholic media. It's a waste of time. The world's turned in a certain direction. It's not interested. That's what they want you to believe, that little voice that speaks in your ear. Well, Archangel Radio is living proof that sometimes we all have to make an act of faith. And Ellen, Michelle, Mike, and the team here have made an act of faith in making this program available to you. Making this time of prayer, this time of conversation, this time of storytelling available to you. It's an act of faith. It takes courage to do those sorts of things. And how do you repay them? Well, there is the pledge drive, of course, and people have been very generous, but that's only part of the story. It's very important that you keep Archangel in your prayers each day. If you're listening for an hour, that's worth at least a Hail Mary or a Memorare each day. Come on, we need it. Pray for us on air. Pray for the people who work behind the scenes here who make this possible, because you never know. It may make your day, it may make somebody's life, but it may also change a soul. Somebody listening to this right now who's turned the dial and picked up Archangel Radio on the AM or the FM dial, you might be listening to something so countercultural that you could never have imagined what it is, because what we're talking about is where the supernatural meets the natural. And that is in our Catholic faith, where we become, through the grace of baptism, children of God. So if you're at all interested in that, stay tuned. This station will change your life. Now, when we come back, I think we're finished with the prayers, Mike, so we can, music's very nice, though. I like it.
Thank you.
Now, listen, the other thing is, this is a show, isn't it, Mike, where we want feedback, right? So if people think, hey, a little less of this, a little bit more of that, just send us a note. We're always open for business. The text request line is there for you to use. And you could phone in and tell me what you think of this show on 888-928-0881 or text 251-928-2111. I won't say we're open 24 hours a day, but we're certainly broadcasting 24 hours a day, I think, Mike, aren't we?
Yes, we're 24/7 on the show. I mean, on the, you know, on this with our programming. So
yes,
that's the beauty of Catholic radio, and that's what people get. It's nonstop Catholicism. It's nonstop learning, and it's nonstop praying. As I think it was. I mean, it says it right there in the Bible: pray without ceasing.
That's so, right.
That's right. That's what we're doing here.
And that's a really good observation, Mike, because what I mean, listening to Catholic radio is a form of prayer. Yes, we do the Divine Chaplet, and that's an overt form of prayer. But everything's about prayer. Do you remember the G.K. Chesterton quote I said the other day when somebody said, why don't you write more about our Lord? And he said, everything I write is about our Lord. Well, everything this station broadcasts is a prayer. It's an offering. It's an offering to the Lord in the media form. That's what it is. This is Mike's work. It's my work. And we're offering it up to Lord with you as part of that offering, because you're the listeners. And remember what I said when we started out? A radio show without listeners is me talking to myself. And that's a sign of madness. Right? That's not what we're into here. We're having a conversation with the Lord above. Now, we're about to go for a break. And when we come back, I've got this most amazing story, which I think you're going to enjoy. Takes us back to England before the First World War and a very humble priest who sets out on a journey to the United States on board a boat, on board a ship, which is going on its maiden voyage. And that ship's name was SS Titanic. Listen, you're not going to want to miss this story, because in some ways that ship heading into the night is a metaphor for all of us upon this stormy sea, which is the world we live in. But what happened next to the humble priest and how he lived out that situation of extreme crisis is a lesson for all of us. So stay tuned to that after the break. So back after these words.
Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Welcome back to Archangel Radio, broadcasting across southern Alabama and throughout the Archdiocese of Mobile. You are so welcome to this show. It's unbelievable. Whether you're Catholic, non-Catholic, curious, disinterested, heard it all before, it doesn't matter. You're welcome. You're welcome, welcome, welcome. Three times welcome. As I said at the start, I welcome you three times because not all gods are the same. We believe in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what we're broadcasting 24/7 on this network and certainly in this frequency. Now, you've tuned to the Turley Frequency, and one of the aspects of this show is a good story. We love a good story on this show, and boy, have I got a story for you today. I'm going to call it The Last Voyage of Father Thomas Biles. So, why don't you have a seat? Pull up a chair, have a sit down. I'll throw another log on the fire and let's begin in the great old-fashioned storytelling. Just pause for a moment. Whatever you're doing, just pause. Listen to this. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. You probably know those words from the famous hymn. And I'll talk a little bit more about them later. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. Now, on that night, on board the ship, in all directions, there was the sound of running feet. It was clear there was something wrong. Before hearing anything, however, one had somehow sensed it. There was some indiscernible threat that had impacted upon the ship and was quickly making its presence felt throughout it. At that moment, a priest with a breviary in hand was praying the night office as he walked on the upper deck. Nevertheless, as the alarm sounded, he knew something had gone seriously wrong. The priest in question was Father Thomas Biles, and the ship's name was the Titanic. When she set sail on her maiden voyage in 1912, the Titanic was the largest vessel in the world, with a passenger capacity of 2,435 souls. It was also claimed that she was unsinkable. In any event, no one considered such a possibility. As the ship set sail from England before calling it Ireland, and thereafter steaming out into the dark Atlantic. Father Biles had boarded at Southampton on the English southern coast, having left his Essex rectory early on the morning of Wednesday, April 10th. He was dressed in his clerical black and carried just a single case as he caught the train from Essex to London and then changed the stations to catch the boat train down from Waterloo Station in London to the English port of Southampton. Now, although he was a very humble English priest, the glamour of the occasion of travelling on the Titanic was not lost on this priest, or indeed any of the ship's passengers, because when they were setting sail at 12 noon on that Easter Wednesday, yes, it was Easter Wednesday they set sail, they did so to the sound of a band playing. Little did they know the prophetic nature of that. Now, how did Father Biles end up upon this ship? Well, it came about because of relatives in the United States. Yes, relatives in America had bought his ticket. You see, towards the end of 1911, Father Biles had been invited to officiate at the marriage of his brother William. William was marrying Miss Isabel Catherine Russell of 119 Pacific Street, Brooklyn. I wonder if that address still exists. The ceremony, the wedding ceremony, was to take place at St. Augustine's Catholic Church on 6th Avenue, Brooklyn, on April 21st, 1912. Father Biles' initial booking had been with the White Star Line, but due to industrial action, yes, they had industrial action even then, he was unable to sail. So at the last minute, his ticket was transferred to an alternate berth, secured upon a new ship, the Titanic. So, the ship set sail from Southampton, and what was the first thing Father Biles did? Well, he wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to his elderly housekeeper, one that was later to be posted when the ship docked briefly in Ireland. His concerns in that were both temporal and spiritual. You see, Father Biles feared he had lost his umbrella whilst travelling on the train to the dock. And perhaps more importantly, that he wouldn't be able to say Mass until the ship cleared the Irish port of Queenstown. It was only after that that he expected to be able to say Mass each day on board ship. In conclusion, he promised to write to his elderly housekeeper when he landed at New York. So who was this Father Biles? Well, he was born in Leeds, which is in the north of England, on February 26th, 1870. So that makes him 42 when the Titanic set sail. He was the eldest of seven children. And perhaps understandably, the family atmosphere was very devout because his father was a Protestant minister. The young Biles was educated locally at Leamington in the English Midlands, where the family moved when he was age 12. And then in 1885, he won a scholarship to a boarding school in Lancashire. It was here that he discovered two things: that he suffered from epilepsy, and that he had doubts about his Protestantism, the faith he had been raised in. Now, as with another famous convert some decades earlier, namely John Henry Newman, the young Biles, as he was then, began to study the early church fathers. But as the doubts slowly started to subside, it became apparent that he was being led to an unexpected place, namely Rome. In 1888, he went up to Balliol College in Oxford, having secured a mathematics scholarship. However, eventually he was to change to theology, gaining a third-class degree in 1894. This man was not an academic. He was third-class degree. He wasn't gifted in that way. But he was given another gift, because it was while at university that he decided to forsake his Protestantism and to embrace Anglicanism. Now, earlier it had been his brother William, do you remember the one who was to get married in Brooklyn, who had shocked the wider family by converting to Catholicism whilst also at Oxford. Now, this conversion of his brother had a distinct impact upon the younger Biles. However, especially as his study of the church fathers deepened, he decided that although he had considered becoming an Anglican clergyman, he was going to postpone that decision. What happened next was what he described as a fog. He didn't know which way to go. He had left the Protestantism of his family, but he was no longer content with his newly acquired Anglicanism. And he found himself struggling to discern what was his true course. What was God calling him to be? Perhaps by then he knew in his heart that there was only one way left, but still he hesitated in taking it. Then, unexpectedly, on the eve of the feast of Corpus Christi, during a prolonged period of meditation, the definitive and indeed final way finally revealed itself to Thomas Biles. Thereafter, there was no hesitation. On the feast itself, the Feast of Corpus Christi, Biles was received into the Catholic Church at the then Jesuit Church in Oxford, and in so doing received Holy Communion for the first time, now completely free of all doubts. And with that, he was given a new Christian name, Thomas. I like that part of the story because all the doubts ended and he was given the name of Thomas, which, as we know, doubting Thomas is in the Bible. But anyway, the fog had lifted. And Biles wrote to his family, and he used that words. He said the fog had cleared, but in his case, an altogether different mist descended upon his family. They didn't much care for the fact of yet another Catholic in the family. But anyway, he had made his decision, and soon he decided that he wanted to be a priest. And he attended Oscott Seminary, which is in the British Midlands. But his health was never that good. Had never been good from the start, and it just seemed to get worse. And this prevented him from persisting in his theological studies. Soon he was forced to leave. Now, this is one of the characteristics of Father Biles. He's a man who continually appears to fail at things. He's a man who continually appears in the eyes of the world not to have really got it together, or to take a long time in getting it together. So he'd become a Catholic, wanted to be a priest, but that hadn't worked out because of his health. So what did he do? Well, he taught for a while. He was also writing a book about the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, which was published by the Catholic Truth Society, a publication or a publisher which is I've had the pleasure of working with as well. But in hindsight, his choice of epistle is a curious one, because, as the eagle-eared listener will know, the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthian is one of the few places in Scripture that reference a shipwreck, but we'll come to that. So, as a school teacher, he was still dogged by illness, and he was no success as a school teacher, that's absolutely clear. But by 1899, his health had begun to restore to the point where he was able to once again restart his seminary studies. And he was sent off to the Beda College in Rome, where he was to pursue both his studies and also to discern his possible vocation to the priesthood. I think the expectation was that the better climate there might help his health. Anyway, eventually, while studying there, both his studies worked out and his vocation was confirmed, and he was ordained a priest on June 15th, 1902. Now, further studies precluded his leaving for Rome for another year, and eventually he returned to England in 1903. Initially, he was assigned to parishes in London, and he ministered here for a while, but ill health began to rear its ugly head again, and it was decided that he would need to go to the country to convalesce. And he did so. And then it was decided that maybe a country parish would be the best thing for Father Biles. So he was dispatched to a country parish in Essex. And it was here he was to stay until he received that telegram from the United States telling of the forthcoming wedding of his brother, who is now resident in New York City. And with it came the invitation. Now, let's go back to the Titanic. On board the Titanic, there were passengers of all social classes and different nationalities. And amongst them, there were three priests. Alongside the Englishman, there was a brother priest from Bavaria and another one from Lithuania. So as the ship made its way into the Atlantic, Father Biles was in the second class section of the ship. But it was to be mainly in steerage, where many of the passengers were Irish, that he was to spend most of those initial days. Now, on Saturday, April 13th, he was hearing confessions for hours in preparation for the next day, which was Low Sunday. Now, Low Sunday has become something else in our times. It is better known today as Divine Mercy Sunday. So just bear that in mind as we progress. So, it's the Saturday before Low Sunday, and the priest is spending his day in steerage listening to confessions all day, as long as he can. When Sunday came, Low Sunday or Divine Mercy Sunday today, what does he do? He says Mass. And he says Mass for the passengers in steerage, giving them a sermon that reflected the circumstances of the then congregation, talking as he did of the need for the lifeboat of faith in the ever-changing waters of life. Now, he could not have foreseen how prescient those words were to become only a few hours later. Nevertheless, on that fateful Sunday, in the afternoon, he spent it with the other passengers, Catholic passengers, given over to other devotions, including the recitation of the rosary. Then, as night fell, the unsinkable Titanic ploughed on through the Atlantic, with all appearing to be in order. It was an illusion, however, and one that was to shatter when later that evening, at 11:40 p.m., the alarms began to sound wildly. Now, on hearing its shriek, Father Biles immediately descended below decks to steerage, if you like, to where his parishioners were. There, as on all other decks, fear was rapidly changing to a suffocating panic. And the priest moved through the confusion, realizing that this was the moment, not just for saving lives, but also for the salvation of souls. And as this thought came to him, he perceived what was now to be his role in this. Now, this is my extrapolation, but it was as if that moment, or in that moment, he realized that this was what he had been preparing for all his life. The culmination of his life's whole and very varied journey. This was a role that had fallen to him unexpectedly, but was now suddenly crystallized in the priest's mind. Because after that, a very certain priest moved among the passengers, clear about what he had to do and why he had to do it. The first thing he did was to call for calm. He did so by asking for silence. And slowly the frightened crowd in front of him quietened, no doubt because of his presence. He then called all present to make an act of contrition. That was crucial. Before having explained the present dangers, he started the evacuation of women and children to the top deck. He escorted them himself upwards through the various decks. Now, here is not the place to speak of how the route for steerage passengers was initially barred, or how those on the upper decks were given preferences over the poorer passengers from below. Needless to say, Father Biles paid no attention to such class distinctions and worked as quietly and as calmly as he could to usher the women and children to the lifeboats then being deployed. The one characteristic of the priest most in evidence and most remarked upon later by the survivors was his presence of mind throughout. It was indeed as if this was the moment he had been preparing for all his life. Seeing the first batch of women and children safely aboard lifeboats, he declined the offer to join them and instead descended immediately downstairs to the decks below. Now, at this point, the ship's band had been brought on deck to try and calm the increasingly fraught atmosphere with what must have seemed a surreal musical accompaniment. Nevertheless, very quickly it was becoming clear that there was not going to be enough lifeboats for all the passengers. Soon the priest was to stand on deck, surrounded by many others who awaited rescue, but who were now effectively stranded. In the growing terror, Father Biles again refused the offer of a place in one of the last remaining lifeboats. Finally, all those who stood on deck watched as the last lifeboat disappeared into the black horizon. And as they did so, they knew that with it had departed all earthly hope. At this point, the band on deck changed to playing hymns, including, it is alleged, "Abide with Me." As its melody sounded across the deck, one often heard at funerals, some began to cry. Some stirred a head blankly, while others fell to their knees, with heads bowed as they gripped the ship's railings. But there were those that continued to pray, one being the English priest. Now, how do we know this? Well, people could see them from the lifeboats. The survivors could see this happening on deck before their eyes, the people left behind. This is a moment that all Christian souls have to face. It's the final reality of the battle between life and death, faith and non-existence. And at that moment had now come for those left on board, Father Biles included. And he looked around those stood, sat, or knelt in front of him, many of whom now looking to him. And he noted, too, the first approaches of dark waters upon the deck. He then did something quite remarkable. He placed himself as high as he could on the ship's deck. And he raised his hand in one last act of blessing and absolution. Then, remaining standing, as he had done so throughout, he began, with rosary and crucifix in hand, to lead those gathered around him in the recitation of that ancient prayer as the hymns continued to be played. Those who had escaped watched helplessly from the lifeboats as the figures on deck grew dimmer and the sounds of prayer now seemed to mingle with that of wailing. And yet, at the head of those so left, still faintly discernible in the distance, was the figure of Father Biles. When at last it started, the survivors said the sound was terrifying. Slowly the ship lurched ever upward. Before thereafter came a rapid descent as it crashed into the sea below, with the resultant waves rolling outwards to the fleeing lifeboats that started to bob in its wake. And looking back transfixed as the ship did so, some of the survivors made the sign of the cross, offering prayers for those now departed, who only a few hours earlier had been all too real, flesh and blood. At that moment, in the enveloping darkness, the survivors prayed too for their safety and the precarious journey ahead, pushed on by the waves emanating from the now vanished vessel. No longer a sailing ship, but instead forever a grave to 1,516 souls, and a memorial to an English Catholic priest, Father Thomas Biles. Hold thy cross before my closing eyes, in life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. That's the story of Father Thomas Biles. It's also interesting that the Titanic started to sink on Low Sunday, which today is Divine Mercy Sunday. And yet, on board that ship, there was one soul who very clearly understood the need for mercy at that final hour. And as we all know, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy is a particular prayer for departing souls. Father Thomas Biles may one day be raised to the altars. There are people who think that his actions that day were saintly and that he died as sort of a martyr. But it's also a sort of meditation on what it is to be a priest. He gave himself completely to his flock. He lived and died in prayer for others. You've been listening to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And I'm hoping that you will join me again, same time, same place tomorrow, when we will have lots more good conversation. Can't promise as much good food, but just as good stories as well. So until we meet again, keep each other in prayer and may God bless you. Bye-bye.